Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey, and welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you've tuned in for a long time, then you know I took a break after season 4 hit 400 episodes with the amazing Mark Victor Hansen. Took a break. I've been starting some other projects, working with clients, doing a lot of consulting. And on this special episode, what I'm doing in reviving the Authentic Persuasion Show in, I'm not going to call it a new season. This isn't season 5. But what this is a replay from the live free training that I'm doing every Friday around selling with authentic persuasion. What you're about to listen to is the replay of the first week's session that I did. I had some technical issues with the streaming. I had hoped for some Q&A, but it wasn't broadcasting live to everywhere that I wanted. So what you're going to hear is my training session that starts off with the beginning of the book, Selling with Authentic Persuasion, Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker. If you're in sales, selling anything to anybody, then this is for you. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast so that you can get all of these episodes, as well as go online and sign up for the free live training sessions. And if you'd like to sign up for the free weekly Authentic Persuasion training sessions, email me at jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Also, as you listen to this, there's lots of guides and different resources that I have, so feel free to email me with any questions or anything that you want that would help you with your selling. And you can also go to jasoncutter.com, where on there it has a link for signing up and registering for the weekly training so that you have it on your calendar, you have access to it, and can catch it live and interact. All right, enough setup. Here we go, week one of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. It looks like there might be some technical issues with LinkedIn, so let me see if I can fix that real quick. Looks like it may or may not be going to LinkedIn. Hold on, everybody. This is the fun part of live TV. Always love this. All right, so let's go anyway, and then I will post it up there. So thank you for tuning in, everyone who is joining in. This is the very first week. This is the very first episode of my weekly Authentic Persuasion live training. So what I wanted to do, taking cues from my mentor, David Meltzer, from other people who do weekly trainings and just give out lots of content, is I wanted to just provide as much as I can to help the community of sales. And one of the biggest things, I'm going to be doing these each Friday. So at noon Eastern, and which is 9 Pacific, I want to do these shows. I want to do this training. It's going to be a mix of some training that I have, some things that I have available, going along the guidelines of my book, and then as well as I want to open it up to Q&A. Now, I can tell here from the stream, it looks like it might not be going to LinkedIn, which is where people were hoping to tune in from. So we'll see what happens. We'll have to catch this later. We'll put up the replay and we'll figure that part out. But for now, what I want to do is I want to go through and start from the beginning and why I'm doing this. So one of the biggest things, and I want to share this as my mission before I dive into this training, is my mission is threefold. It's to facilitate transformation by encouraging and enabling light bulb moments. It's by helping the underdog win their game. And then it's also by helping leave people better off than I found them. And so one of the interesting things is my bachelor's degree is in marine biology. The path that I've had in life has taken me to where I am now. And there's this interesting dynamic where I just want to help the world of sales as much as possible. So I want to focus on doing what I can to improve salespeople's ability. So people who are watching this, people who are in sales, helping them become more effective, overcoming the challenges they have. And that's what we're going to talk about in these training sessions and work on that journey to go from order taker to quota breaker as the subtitle of my book. But then also the other thing is that I want to help the community as a whole of consumers. So one of the things is we all know, and I think we could all agree, is that generally sales is seen as a dirty word. So sales is not a positive thing. People don't enjoy working with salespeople. People don't look forward to dealing with salespeople. People don't want to interact with them if they don't have to. There's this guard that goes up. I know for myself, like when I walk into a store, happens a lot. If I'm not sure what I want to buy, or I'm not sure what's going to happen with the person that works there and what their incentives are going to be, you know, we all do this like, hey, do you need any help? No, I'm just looking, right? That's our guard up so that we protect ourselves as a consumer. And so the key is that I want to help change that. If I can help people in sales sell in a different way, sell with authentic persuasion, and become sales professionals, then what we can do is we can shift that narrative. We can shift that perspective from a consumer standpoint where they no longer fear or worry or have doubts about dealing with a salesperson and what their intentions are, and instead see that as something they want. They want that consultative help. They want to have people that they can interact with and buy from. So that is the basis. That's the foundation. That's why I do what I do. Again, I think in a different life, I would have been a teacher. I love coaching people. I love helping people. Again, that's why in my mission, it's that light bulb moment that I enjoy the most. So that's why I do this, and helping underdogs win their game. To me, underdogs in sales are people like myself who fell into sales, people who ended up in sales. Life went one path, one direction, went this way and that way. And then the next thing you know, somebody's in sales, or maybe they kind of wanted to do it, and maybe they haven't received enough training. Maybe they haven't received any guidance. For me, that was both of those things. So my little bit of my experience in sales is I fell into my first sales role at 27 in the mortgage business. And I didn't even realize it was sales. I didn't think about it being sales, but it was. And I also didn't receive any training. I've never actually received any training where I went to work for a company and the company said, okay, here's some training. We're going to put you through sales training. Here's how to overcome objections. Here's how to do this. Here's how to do that. It was just always assumed that either I would figure it out or I already knew what I was doing. And so for me, that is a tough place to come from when you're trying to be successful in sales. Sales is already hard enough. If you think about it, if you're amazing at sales, if you're really good at sales, you're successful maybe 20, 25, 30% of the time. Right? If you're close, if you talk to 10 people, maybe you can close 3 out of 10, 2 out of 10. I know companies or industries where it's 1 out of 10. Maybe it's half out of 10, right? It takes you 20 conversations to close one deal. That means literally you're losing more times than you're winning in those conversations. So it's already tough. It's tough mentally, it's tough physically, emotionally, strategy-wise, it's all difficult. And what I see is a lot of people who don't receive training, don't have guidance. And then what happens is they're playing this game that's just really hard. And to me, that's the underdogs that I want to serve. That's why I do what I do. That's why I wrote my book. That's why I have my podcast, because I want to help those people who are like me with no guidance, no experience, no expertise, no training, left out there essentially to the wolves in the world of sales. That's already hard enough where your consumers don't trust you. They don't like you. They don't think that you are there for them. And so instead, they're worried about it. And that's the game that you're having to play. So, all right, as we go through this, what I'm going to do. So again, I think this might not be streaming to LinkedIn. It looks like it's very angry, but I'm not going to stop this. So if you're watching this on Facebook or LinkedIn afterwards, please make sure to put in questions, any questions that you have. My goal is to have this be a session where we're doing part seminar where I'm sharing as much as I can. And then what I want to do is do questions, answers at the end with whatever time we have based on the questions that are there. So make sure you submit your questions. Again, if this works out today, that's great. If not, in the future events each week, what we're going to do is have that. So please send your questions. So let's go ahead and dive into this. So what I want to do is cover, real quick before I get into this. Also, if you're watching this as a replay, You can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. So if you email me, let me know what questions you have, what ideas, what thoughts, what feedback, what things. Because if you send me your questions, then we can do is I can prepare for that and have those ready when we get to that portion. Also, one other thing that I want to do, and I'm going to mention this at the end, is that I want to give away my book for free for people in this community, people watching this, people going through this. And I've talked to a bunch of people this week prior to this where some people were really excited to be tuning in because they had, which I'm going to talk about some traits today, they had the trait where they want to learn. They're curious. They're open. They want to just work on their skills as much as possible. And so I want to support that as much as I can. So at the end, I'm going to share how you can get a copy of my book for free. No strings attached, just pay for shipping. But I'm going to talk about that at the end and show you the website where you can go to. But you can always email me too, and I can send you the link. So if you email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, I can send you the link if you don't catch that later on. So, all right, so here we go. So let's go ahead and go through, and I'm going to start in the beginning. And now, as I go through this, and my goal each week is that I'm going to loosely follow along Selling with Authentic Persuasion. Again, my book that came out last year. Some of it is things that I've taken from that book to kind of summarize and give you an idea, some bullet points, some highlights, and some strategies, the mindset, things like that. The other part is since writing that, if you've ever wrote a book, you know this process, which is you write the book, it goes through a whole bunch of editing, and then it goes through publishing, and then it goes through printing. From the time you write it the first time to the fine time it finishes, I know for me, I read it and I kept rereading it and I was like, oh, I could put this in. I should add this. Oh, I wish I had said this, right? Like think about a conversation you have when you get done, maybe a phone call, and you're like, oh, I wish I had said that. Now imagine that with 60,000 words in a book where at a certain point there's a cutoff time and you can't edit, you can't change, you can't keep adding to it. You just got to leave it alone. And so some of the things that I'm going to put into this in these conversations is additional items, things that I wanted to add or things that I've learned or uncovered or realized since then that I think is equally valuable in the lessons come from that book. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to start with order takers. Now, why is this important to start? You thought, okay, you're here. We're going to cover authentic persuasion and we're going to be talking about training and how to help you become a better salesperson. The first thing is we've got to start from the beginning. And one of the things that happens and what I did with the book is the goal is authentic persuasion. I want to help you become a sales professional. I want to help you become a quota breaker. And there's three parts in the book. There's authenticity, there's persuasion, and then there's the intangibles. The intangibles are those little things that separate the professionals winning at their game and not. And we'll deal with those as we go through. And a lot of people come to me and they want the tactics. What can I say to close the deals now? How do I overcome objections? What do I need to say? What do I need to do? Well, just tell me, like, how do I close more deals right now? The challenge with that is that if you don't have a solid foundation, it doesn't matter. If you don't work on the mindset and what you need to do from an authenticity piece, then the strategies, the tactics don't matter. I've seen that. I see a lot of people teaching and giving out strategies and tactics. It doesn't work that way if you don't have a solid foundation. Now, a lot of people have a solid foundation. It works well. Others don't. Again, if you've fallen into sales, then there's a good chance that the foundation isn't there. So if we look at, for example, if I were to say, hey, we need to build this thing. I want to build a new desk. And it's like, okay, so here's the tools for it. And here is how we want to build this. If you don't have the foundation, if you don't understand how to build, what to do with the tools, if you don't know what you're going to do with those things and what you're good at and what your skills are, and you don't have that foundation, it's not going to work. It doesn't matter how good of tools I were to give you or buy you or material. It doesn't matter because that isn't what's going to work well considering if you don't have the foundation. So that's why we're going to start with the authenticity. A lot of people want the strategies. They want to know the tactics. They want to know how to close more deals. You got to trust me. Having done this for so long, the key is we got to start with the base. We got to start in the beginning. Now, in the beginning, talking about authenticity is we got to talk about order takers. It's one of the biggest things. And I see this a lot. Now, what is an order taker? Well, an order taker is somebody who takes orders for a living. It's in the name, right? So it's not rocket science. I'm not trying to be tricky or fancy. But the key is that one of the things for the order taker is that they're not focused on win-win. Generally, the order taker, and I'm not going to get into a ton of detail, but the order taker is all about win and maybe lose. I want to help you win, other person, and I don't really care if I win, or it might be to my detriment. In sales, we see this a lot where somebody who's acting as an order taker in their sales role, which I'm going to cover here in a minute. So if you're triggered, if you're upset, you hear the order taker, you think I'm pointing a finger or labeling you or blaming you or doing something like that. I'm not. It's just a state of your current sales condition. And we'll get to that. But the key is that I see a lot of times where salespeople who are acting like order takers are trying to close deals and maybe giving up a lot on price or on terms, or they're so worried about upsetting the other person by selling them or moving them forward in the conversation, what happens is they just don't do it, right? So they're trying to create this win. So the win for you is that you're not upset, even if that means a loss for me. And so the key is that order takers aren't focused on win-win. Now, there's salespeople who are focused on win-win, maybe, not always. So that's one of the biggest keys. Now, when is it appropriate, right? Let's cover this really quickly. When is it appropriate to be an order taker? Well, when the role is focused on customer satisfaction as the primary driver. So think customer service, tech support, things like that, where it's not necessarily focused on the you winning and me winning, right? If I'm in tech support, I want you to win. It doesn't have anything to do with me. Obviously, I'm going to win. My company's going to win because I'm going to retain a client. At the same time, it doesn't feel that way. It's not motivating for me. There's nothing in it for me. And so the other experience that I know that we've all had is there's two of them when order taking goes bad. And what that looks like on one spectrum is that when you're hoping to deal with customer service or support and you get someone selling you, right? I think we've had that experience where you go into an electronic store. Let's say you go into a Best Buy, you want to buy a new TV, you're trying to check out, and literally they're giving you the hard sell about the extended warranty or something else or this and that. And it just feels like they're pushing. You just wanted service. You just wanted help. You wanted an order taker. You wanted to buy this TV and then you want to leave. And then they're just pushing you. And I know I've had that experience and it just feels like a mismatch and it's unpleasant. It makes you want to not go through that again. It makes people, like I'll say myself, where I would rather just order online because I don't want to deal with that pushy person or that service or that expectation. Now, on the other side of where order taking happens and goes bad is when someone's expecting a salesperson and they get an order taker. Now, this might sound interesting and weird because, again, in the beginning today, I talked about the fact that most people, most consumers, most of us in our public life or private life outside of what we do as a job is that we don't necessarily want to deal with a salesperson. We're not excited about it. We're hesitant. We're worried. And that being said, there are times when we and all of us as consumers focus on, we want to buy something and we need some help. And so we want that help. We want someone to persuade us. We want someone to guide us. And as we go through this training, we'll talk about the difference between selling and explaining and guiding, knowledge, wisdom, all topics we're going to cover here as we go through these weeks. But the key is there's times where we, and I know I've done that. I go into a store, let's say I go to a car dealership or I go to the Best Buy and I go to that electronics store and I say, okay, I want to buy a TV and I want some help and I want some guidance. And instead of getting somebody who's going to walk me through and help me and consult with me to the right solution for what I'm looking for, instead, I get an order taker or someone just giving me features and benefits and not actually helping me make the decision. In those moments, I want somebody to actually persuade me and help me make the right decision. And I want to make a decision. And when faced with that order taker, then the challenge is that's missing. It's like I wanted someone to actually help me buy. And instead, I got somebody who's just so passive, they're letting me do it. And in those situations, unless it's a very clear decision, I will actually just walk out and go try to find somebody else or call a different company, trying to find somebody who is a sales professional who's actually going to help me. So that's the key. That's where order taking happens. Now, I want to mention before we move forward and talk about the nature versus nurture, which is the next topic, is when I use this label, right, this name order taker, what I mean by that is somebody who's in their role and they're taking orders. Again, if you're customer service, if your job is to take orders, if somebody saw something online or, you know, as seen on TV, they call off of that phone number, they're just placing an order, they want this, it's QVC, they're just calling to place an order. That's order taking, that's expected, that's totally okay. If you're in a role where your job is to help uncover someone's situation, their goals, their needs, their issues, their desires, and then if you have the solution, then to guide them towards that solution, right, across the finish line, signing up for your service, buying your product, then your job is to facilitate that. It's to move them forward. In that case, if you're acting like an order taker, then you're letting them down and you're letting yourself down as a sales professional. And so the order taker label is more about a state of affairs. It's where you are now in the way that you sell. And what happens a lot of times is people who are order takers, which we're going to cover a bunch here as we build on it and help you make that shift, is that the order taker is just asking questions, building relationships, but not moving people forward. And it's missing that piece. The great part is this is not a definite thing. This is not a final thing. This isn't a final label. This is it. You can never be a salesperson. You can never be a sales professional. You can never sell at a top level. It's not. It just means right now you're operating like an order taker in your selling role, and you can make that shift. Now, usually the indication for the order taker label is your closing percentage and how many conversations you're having that are moving forward. If that's really low, or you seem to only close the easy ones, the people who are like, here's my money, I'm ready to order, I want to buy right now, I want to sign up, I already know what I need, then you might be an order taker. And my goal is to help you shift. Again, for you, for your goals, your financial goals, for your success in your role, as well as what the consumer wants. Like we just talked about with order taking gone bad, we want to fix that. We want to make that successful. I want to help you make that successful. So, all right. So let's go ahead and move forward. So that's order takers. Any questions on that? Please, you know, put them in the chat, ask them, you know, any other indications you want for that. You can always email me, like I said, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I have some other checklists. I have some things like that to see if you are an order taker. I also have an assessment that's on my website. So if you go to jasoncutter.com, there is a button on there for a free assessment that will tell you, give you a range, give you a score of how you're doing as a salesperson. The key is obviously answering all those questions honestly and being very vulnerable with where you are, how you operate in your sales role, in your sales conversation. But if you go to jasoncutter.com, there is the assessment on the site there, and you can take that assessment. It'll let you know kind of where you're at and what you could be doing to get to the next level. So now let's talk about the all-time question, which is sales people, sales superstars. Are they born that way? Are they made that way? Is it nature or is it nurture? Like which one first? You know, the chicken or the egg? Like how does that happen? And there's several arguments. People will go both ways on this. The fundamental thing, the punchline for this, and everything that I've experienced myself, as well as who I've talked to and the other experts I've listened to, is that no one is born a sales professional. No one is born knowing how and jumping right into success as a salesperson, right? It's not something that you're just born to do. Now, I will explain why it feels like that, but it's not. So it's not something you're born to. The key is, though, is that there are certain personality traits that people are born with that maybe they get from their parents, and they have those, and it makes them more in alignment with selling and being in sales, right? And we've all seen that. We've all seen the kids who they're young and literally they are just tenacious, they're charismatic, they're outgoing, they're fearless, They know what they want. They're convincing. It's almost like this salesperson is bottled up in this child. And you can just see them and be like, this person is going to be in sales or maybe a lawyer or something like that later down the road. And you just know fundamentally, like, that's the path. And it's not that they were born to be in sales. It's that some of those characteristics, some of those personality traits that they're born with would lend itself well to that. The other thing is we talk about the nature side. The nurture side. So there's the nature side of what you're born with, and then there's the nurture side, which is what happens in your family. And then that also has a big role to play in it as well. So if your parents or one of your parent is in sales, then you're going to be around that, and that could foster it, right? But here is the big thing. Here is the big takeaway. Here's what I want you to understand is if you're looking at yourself and saying, well, I wasn't born with those charismatic traits, or I don't feel like I identify with being born with those personalities, but I'm in sales. So I don't know. Am I screwed? Am I out of luck? Am I going to be able to pull this off? Or you look at it and go, my parents weren't salespeople. I don't have a background in that. Like, I wasn't nurtured in a house full of sales or business, and that's not my background. Am I screwed as well in sales because I don't have either one of those? Here is the key. Here is the big thing is that I firmly believe, and I am a perfect example of this myself, and I've seen it with hundreds of other salespeople, where I firmly believe you can create and make yourself into a sales superstar. I firmly believe that. And here's the key is that there's certain personality traits that lend itself well to sales, but there isn't one type. There isn't one thing that makes for a good salesperson that you have to be born with, right? Being charismatic, being outgoing, being an extrovert, right? Even if that was a thing, being a great storyteller, being this, this, or this, which you think, okay, well, that person was born with that, born with the silver tongue to be able to talk people into things, talk themselves out of a bad situation and get themselves out of a bad situation. Those things can help. But here's what I would argue too, and keep this in mind, like, think about this. There's a lot of people, if you look at what we think is this archetype of personalities for a classic salesperson, the smooth talking, charismatic, outgoing, extrovert salesperson. If we think about that, we all hold that person in our mind. Then we think, is that what the consumers actually want? Yes, it works. Yes, people do buy from that person. But the question is that what people actually want? Is that what you want to buy from? Is that who you get excited about? So when you pull up to, let's say, the car dealership and you just want some help buying a new car and you're worried about the classic car buying experience and what may happen to you, when that classic salesperson comes up to the car as soon as you get out and they're just, you know, checking all those boxes of what's classic in sales, does that make you happy? Is it excited? Are your walls instantly going down mentally and you're like ready to buy because this is perfect? Or is it setting off alarm bells because it's literally checking all the boxes that you're concerned about? And that is the key. That is the fact that, yes, that's what a lot of people think about what it takes to be successful in sales. And I would argue, based on my experience, is that's also not what a lot of people really want to experience when they're a customer, when they're trying to buy. And so be careful that you don't say, well, because I'm not this, because I don't have this personality, because I wasn't born like this, because I don't do this, I can't become a sales superstar. And I argue, again, that you can. You can make yourself into one. Also, like for myself, like I said, I was not born into a sales household. Nurture, nature, neither of those were on my side. I mean, as a kid in elementary school, I was bullied. I was shy. I was awkward. I am an only child, so I didn't have other kids in the family to help me socialize. My parents, fantastic, loving parents, but both very analytical. My mom was a banker and in finance before she retired. My dad was an engineer, program manager, director of engineering and things like that before he retired. And so analytical, very anti-sales, in fact, and I won't go into full detail, but very anti-sales, anti-salespeople. It was not even a like nurturing sales household where it's like, okay, of course I'm going to go into sales. It was a anti-sales household, such that my bachelor's degree, for people who don't know me, is in marine biology. I chose sharks over people. Like, let that sink in. That indicates how I felt about people growing up versus, you know, something like sharks, which most people would not want to interact with and do not like the thought of being around. That's what I chose because I felt that was safer and a better choice in my life than people, than any other career. So I firmly believe that you can make yourself into a sales superstar. Now, what I'm not saying is that to be a sales superstar, you have to make yourself into somebody who's charismatic, extrovert, outgoing, storyteller, like all of those things. What I'm saying is you can make yourself into a sales superstar by taking your strengths and who you are and applying that to your sales role. And that's where the authenticity piece comes in, because it's not about you becoming someone else and acting like someone else to be successful in a sales career and to become a sales professional. It's about understanding who you are and then using that to become successful in sales. So when we have this nurture versus nature, born versus made, I firmly believe that you can make yourself into a salesperson. Of course, there's things that help. If you're a complete introvert, right, which very few people are. A lot of people put the label on themselves of introvert, but if you've ever analyzed or looked at or met someone who is a pure introvert, it's totally different. No interactions with people, like that's a real big challenge. Most likely, if you put that label of introvert on yourself, it's that you're actually an ambivert. And I really recommend people look this up, research that term, see if that applies to you. But here's the deal, is we've got extrovert at one end, we've got introvert at the other end. And then there's ambivert. And ambivert, kind of like ambidextrous, which means you can use your right or your left. Ambivert is just saying that in some situations, you're an introvert. Some situations, you're extrovert. You act like that. It's based on where your energy comes from. Extroverts, the typical thing is that the extrovert's energy and where they get energized is by being around people and interacting with people in the outside world. When they do that, they're energized. When they're not doing that, they feel like a lack of energy and they feel like something's missing. And I'm not that way, but I know people who are, where it's like if they're stuck at home, it's like death to them. They just feel like they're missing something. This period of time in the pandemic has been really tough on people who are more extroverted because they couldn't go out, they couldn't socialize, they couldn't get their energy from people and being out and about. And so that was really difficult for them. And so that energizes them. Now, introverts the energy is vampire by being around people. Like it's just so draining. And what I'll say is that most introverts are people who want to label themselves as introverts. And this does matter for your sales career, right? This is super important. I'm not just covering this for your own development, but this is important in how you look at yourself as a salesperson, is that most people who label themselves as an introvert, they feel like when they're around people, they're drained and it doesn't energize them. They take a lot of time to recover after being in public or being in a group or being in at a party or talking to other people. And what I would say is that's usually dependent, right? Like I think more people are ambiverts than they might think, putting the label of introvert on themselves. But what's true and what might make more sense is that in some situations, people, groups, crowds drain you, right? And that's okay. And there might be other situations, different situations, where being around groups, people, individuals, maybe smaller groups, one-on-one, or just different categories, right? Like business versus personal versus a club versus an activity versus something you really enjoy versus something you feel like you have to do, right? Like a work meeting or a work event or a work happy hour, if that isn't what you like to do versus a club that you're in or an activity that you enjoy doing, is my guess is that different things will make you feel a different way. So some will be draining, some will be energizing, And that means that you're more likely to be an ambivert. Now, where this matters for your sales career, and this is where, you know, I wish I could have put more in the book, is that as most people who are struggling with sales, especially people who might be order takers, they might want to label themselves as introverts. They think, okay, only extroverts are good at sales. Extroverts is that outgoing, charismatic, smooth talking, storytelling person. They attribute the extrovert label with the salesperson personalities and behaviors and strategies and who that person is. And then you compare yourself to those things. I know that's what I did. I was like, I would never imagine that I would be in sales because I don't check any of those boxes. That doesn't matter. Now, those are two different things. So extrovert, again, it's where you get your energy. Sometimes it's, you know, when you go somewhere, do you need to be the life of the party or the center of attention? But it's really about the energy. Like I will say that for myself, I always thought I was more of an introvert because I wasn't outgoing and I wasn't, I'll just say it, the loud person at the party, right? I don't need to be the center of attention. And I've also learned that there are times like when I'm speaking from stage or I'm at a conference or I'm at an event and I'm meeting lots of people or I'm doing seminars and workshops that energizes me. I really like it. That is super fun. And I still don't identify myself as that extrovert. Right? I still don't see myself as that, but it's two different things. In sales, again, extrovert is the energy side, but the key is where are you at and what are you bringing personality-wise into it? And thinking like you can be you and you can be an introvert and you can be successful in sales. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be these box or these ones. And I think just from a, let's say, public service announcement side, I think it's always good to be very mindful of where you do get your energy from so that you can focus on self-care. And this is really important. I mentioned this earlier today, is that a lot of times, well, you just expect most of the time in your sales career, it's going to be filled with more unsuccessful times than successful times. And I don't mean like weeks, months. I mean like conversations, unsuccessful conversations that don't produce results versus successful conversations that result in closed deals. Again, if you're amazing, you might be closing 3 out of 10, which means 7 out of 10 aren't happening. They're not closing. So there's a lot to this mindset, a lot to the mental game, a lot to what you need to focus on for you to protect you. There's a lot of mental, I don't want to say illness, but there's a lot of mental struggle and drain, especially in the world of sales. A lot of people who can't handle it don't want to be in sales because they know it's so tough. It's full of rejection and maybe confrontation and this and that and misperceptions of what people think they have to do to be successful in sales, which we are definitely going to talk about and destroy those thoughts about what you think it takes to be successful in sales. But the thing is, it's tough. It's a tough mental game and there's no way around it. And no one ever disputes that. Even successful salespeople, they know it every day. It's getting up and you want to be successful and you've just got to keep going along. So one of the things with this whole ambivert, introvert, extrovert conversation is to make sure you know how to care for yourself. If you find that your conversations are draining, and that at the end of the day, you just feel drained, like you gave it all away and you just don't have anything else, make sure you're just aware of that. How do you take care of yourself? What do you have to do to recover? How do you get yourself ready for the next day? How do you get yourself ready for your evening or your family or your friends or significant others? Like, how do you ensure that you are in a good place? And what do you have to do to balance that? It might even be throughout your day. You have your phone calls and then you know how to take care of yourself. When every so often you got to recharge, maybe you got to go outside, maybe you've got to just journal or read, you've got to do something. Now, we'll get into a lot more of that as we go through, but I just wanted to plant those seeds when we're talking about, you know, making yourself into a salesperson, right? How to create yourself as a successful salesperson, how you can build upon that. And so what I am going to do is, so we're 38 minutes into this. I had planned on going an hour, but I know because I can see it on my screen that the LinkedIn feed isn't working. And that's where most of the people are going to tune in. So what I'm going to do before I get into the next segment because there's a lot that I was going to cover in this. I'm going to make that next week's segment, and I'm going to end a little bit early. I appreciate everyone is tuning in. Again, if you're watching this on the replay, please make sure to leave them comments, post things in there. You can always email me. So make sure to set your reminder, set your calendar. So I'm going to be doing this every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. There will be replays that are available. So again, this will be streaming to LinkedIn, to Facebook, and to YouTube. And the replays will be there so that you can watch them each time. And then also, if you're catching this in the replay, you have questions, you have comments, you got things like that, anything, you know, from sales to marketing to technology to leadership, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I have a lot of resources. I have a lot of guides. I also have a lot of other programs, workshops, and I have different things that I can send you to help you that, you know, could guide you in all of those categories, anything to do with sales operations side. So if you have any questions or need any help or any guidance for you or your company, make sure to email me. And then what I mentioned in the beginning, and I want to offer this to everyone watching, is that if you want a copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion for free, so Selling with Authentic Persuasion, transform from order taker to quota breaker, which I still absolutely love the subtitle. It makes me smile every time, just because I know what people can do to be successful and shift. And if you want to get a copy of that for free, so that you can also follow along in this, but it read through it and help you. I've got companies who are buying this for their teams and doing it as a book club, and everyone's kind of going along with it and just supplementing whatever your training is, whatever your sales process is, whatever you have in your company now that you're being told, sell this way, do this, say this. I wrote this book in a way that it's universal, that it applies to anything. It's not about telling you to say this or changing how you sell. Like, there's some other sales strategy books out there where it's like, okay, change everything about how you sell and do it this way, and here is the formula. Instead, this is fundamentals. These are some fundamental things about authentic persuasion. So if you're interested, if you want that, go to authenticpersuasion.com/free gift. And if you go in there, you put in your information, I will send it to you for free. All you need to do is cover the shipping. So basic shipping, not even shipping and handling, just shipping. And then I will send you a signed copy of the book. My pleasure. I just want to get that out there. I want to support you. I want to help. And I want to plant as many seeds as I can to help people become authentic persuaders. Also, some other things, if you're listening to this, if you're watching it live, watching the replay, and you want to find out more, you want to hear more of the content I'm putting out there, I've got two podcasts right now. One is the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast. So that one's for call center owners and leaders. There's also, we have people who are listening to that who are working in call centers and they want to learn how to grow. They want to learn how to move up an organization or just how the organization, the business of call centers work. So that's a great show. You can find that everywhere: iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon Podcast. Amazon now has its podcast. You can find that everywhere that podcasts are sold. And then the other show that I have with my friend Oliver Katt. So it's a live show. We do those on Wednesdays. And then also it's a podcast doing the replays. And so that one is Call Center Confidence with Cutter and Katt, which is a fun name. Check that out. Again, if you work in a call center, if you lead a call center, if you own one, if you want to move up, that one's a great show as well. That's super fun. That's on Wednesdays. And that's it. And as a last note here, any questions or anything you're looking for, if you want to see anything that I have going on, you can always go to jasoncutter.com, where I have links. I have everything that you might want for finding what I'm doing, what I have going on, different books. I also have a couple of eBooks, but I've made that into a central hub for everything that I have going on. So just go to jasoncutter.com. And that's it for episode one, week one of the Authentic Persuasion Weekly Live Training. I appreciate everyone who tuned in live. I appreciate everybody who's watching this replay, and I will make sure that this is available everywhere. Again, if you have any questions, email me. Otherwise, I will catch you next week. Have a great day and a great weekend. All right, hope you enjoyed that replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Again, remember you can catch these live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Make sure to go to jasoncutter.com to sign up, or you can email me jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com to get information about this. I'll send you the link to sign up. And if you have any questions that you want me to talk about on the show, or if you have any guides that you're looking for, anything that would help you, make sure to email me. I can send you anything that I have that can help you and support your selling career. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.